Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
your love through love. Make that your prayer. So lavish your love through love. going to start to focus a little bit more on the song of the Lord and the song of the people during the worship time. We're going to spend some time in a few months teaching about that. You know, for now, I know sometimes it feels not natural. It feels awkward. You don't know what to do. Just stay in that worship mode. We're going to begin to dialogue about it because worship's not meant to be stagnant. It's meant to be an interaction between you and God. One of the things we like to use as an analogy, a real basic analogy, you know, there's a lot of birthdays coming up. We were talking about that this morning. When you receive a birthday card, there's all these words that Hallmark writes on there. My dad is notorious for finding these cards that say what he feels that someone else wrote. But then he writes a little like sentence underneath like, hey, I love you. I'm proud of you, Dad. And I will tell you, I see the song, the words that someone else wrote, and they're meaningful. I mean, he really means them or he wouldn't have bought me that card. He shops for a long time. But the part that's really meaningful is, I'm really proud of you, Dad. So that's kind of how worship, like we're relating to our Heavenly Father. We have these songs, some that we've written, some that other people have written. We've imported them from other worship cultures. And those words, you mean them. But we get to that point where you say that one sentence or two sentences or 75 sentences that really came from your heart. And it's a different kind of aspect of worship. So thanks for going there. Hey, talk about something not serious, but serious to me. So we've created a lost and found. I took the liberty to do this. Little knickknacks show up here and we leave them on display for quite some time. And I mean, I'm not into that so much. So under where the offering is, there is a cabinet. That cabinet says lost and found. I will tell you, there is a pair of prescription eyeglasses in there. So if that's you, if you've been healed, great, leave them there. If you need them, no shame, just take it. Also, a really awesome water bottle from last week that was here, and it's in there. So if you lost your water bottle, we get a lot of people come through for one Sunday, and that's awesome. And they leave their umbrella, and I'm not interested in hanging on to it. So every 6 months or so, we're going to bring them up, show everybody everything, and drop them in a donation bin as we go. So well, it'll be fun. But if you've lost something here, check that cabinet. All right, Gap Ministry is collecting diapers, baby wipes, and baby wipes for the Morningstar Maternity Home. We've partnered with that home locally, supported them in the past, and I think our Gap Ministry person was in the spirit because they're going to have more need than ever with changes that are coming in our culture, which is awesome. So when you're at the store, grab a pack of wipes, some diapers, baby-related items if you want, and bring them in. Next Sunday, everybody say next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Peggy Jones will be here. I heard Kathy's introduction to Peggy Jones, which was awesome, and she's right. Peggy is meek and sweet, but the prophetic words that come out of her are very powerful. All right, this month, we are praying for the persecuted church in July. We have the books over there that are prayer guides. We've supplemented them with our own thoughts about how to pray for the persecuted church. We're going to pray for Iran when I close the announcements this morning, or actually just a second. I saw something that's really awesome. We prayed for Iran 2 weeks ago, and then this week I see that there's actually an underground revival in Iran. You know, we had talked about a couple weeks ago how four guys were arrested. Three of them were whipped. They all got 10 years in prison in Iran, and they got that for taking communion in their home together. So it's a whole different set of laws, but they're having this revival. So today our prayer is going to be that the revival reaches the people that can change the laws. You know, because I read something this week, or actually saw a photo of people getting baptized in Iran, and they go into a back room of a house and someone pours a cup of water on them and they quick towel off and that's it. Because if you get caught, you go to prison. So they don't enjoy the same freedoms we do. We've had pushback on our freedoms, but we've also had some awesome religious freedom cases in the past couple weeks. You can pray at universities. You can pray on the football field now. And you can't lose your job for that, so which is pretty awesome. You'll hear people say, well, now everyone can pray on the football field. And I'm like, great, say your powerless prayers on the football field. I'm not worried about you, other religions. We would like to be able to pray on the football field with our powerful prayers. All right, so let's pray for Iran. I'll pray over the offering, and then I have one more quick announcement, and I'll invite Dave up to speak. Are you guys cool standing to pray for Iran? All right. I'm going to pray, but you know, allow words to come out of your mouth as well. Just pray for the Lord, pray in the Spirit, pray with your understanding. Do you guys know we can all pray at the same time and God can hear the prayer and sort it out? So Father, we just pray for Iran right now. We pray for the nation. We thank you for what you're doing among the people. Lord, we pray that key people would come to know you. We pray that those that can change the laws of the land will come to know you. Lord, we pray for those in prison. We pray that you would reduce their sentences, that you would comfort them. We pray that you would comfort their families. We pray that you would comfort the church, that the church would grow in spite of what the government's doing to try to change it. We thank you for those that take the bold step just to practice things we take for granted, communion and baptism. And we thank you, Lord, that you're moving in that nation. We ask that Iran would be known as a Christian nation in our lifetime, even now, that the Christians would outnumber those that would seek to stop Christianity more and more each day, and that the culture of the nation would change.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name,
thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, I feel like I forgot to pray for something. Oh, the offering. All right, if you brought something to give, you can put it in at your leisure. Lord, we just pray that you would bless the giver, that you would multiply what they need, that you would work in their finances. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this is an exciting announcement. I'm excited about this. Other people got excited about it. I mentioned it to a couple of people, and they took care of it. So this is what we're going to do. We have a unique space, right? It's awesome. We love it. But it doesn't lend itself to after service prayer. You know, people will come and ask me for prayer while other people are having a party, which is awesome. We want you to have that party together. We've created a space because we want to be a people that pray, and we want to pray frequently. But we had this room in this church that we were calling the conference room, and we had meetings in it once a month. We want to pray more than once a month. We can have meetings other places. So from now on, the meeting room, conference room, we are rebranding that to the prayer room. All right, we've rearranged it a little bit in there. It is the prayer room. Now, we don't actually have prayer guidelines yet or prayer team trainings. I know other churches have that. We'll work into that a little bit, but right now it's a bit of a free-for-all. But I think with us, that's going to be okay.
Amen.
You know, and so if you would like to pray for people or you would like to be prayed for, after service, make your way to the prayer room. If you want to pray before service for the people up here, make your way to the prayer room. Have fun in the prayer room. We'll come up with a couple quick guidelines, nothing big, but we just want everyone to have a good experience in there. So everybody's on board with the prayer room?
Yeah.
All right. Anybody not? No, I'm just kidding. I was going to say, who's afraid to go to the prayer room? I'm just kidding.
It's right
here.
The corner.
It's the room you'll hear the prayers coming out of.
The Well Prayer Room.
It's got a sign and everything.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Before I get into the body of my notes and that type of thing, I want to go back to the first song that was sung. The last two lines on that song weren't included in worship this morning. But I think if you pay attention later on, you'll see the connection that the Holy Spirit has in mind. It says, in my tiny hands, in this tiny voice, in this tiny room, there's a great big God. The last time I shared back on June 12th, I talked a little bit about the importance of learning the lesson of Simon of Cyrene. He's the man who carried the cross for Jesus. When they were taking him out to be crucified, Jesus had been severely beaten. His physical body was unable to carry that cross. And the connection was that as we intercede for others to help carry their burdens, we can only carry them to the place of Calvary. And that's where we need to lay them down, committing them to the finished work of the cross. So even as we pray for those who are experiencing persecution and difficult situations around the world, we can't carry their burdens. It'll become too heavy for us. We need to lay them down at the cross. And since we are focusing on this month on praying for the persecuted church, I thought it might be a good thing for us to look a little bit more at how and why we intercede for others. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, a familiar passage for most probably, says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage battle according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." And it's important to recognize that in truth, this passage deals more with what our prayers do for us than what our prayers do for others. The fortresses and the strongholds that we destroy and tear down have nothing at all to do with the devil's strength, because he's already defeated. The fortresses that need to be destroyed are in our own minds. They're built on the foundation of wrong thinking, on fear and on doubt. And these wrong thoughts are the only thing that really gave the devil the power that he does have. 1 Peter 5, 7 and 8 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And that "may" is a critical word there. The devil may roar loudly, but in reality, he's more like the dog whose bite or whose bark is worse than his bite. He seeks whom he may devour, and the truth is, we're the only ones that can give him that permission. He needs permission, but we're the only ones that can give him that through the wrong thinking. Jesus already defeated him. If we have a true knowledge of God, then there's no argument that can be made against his dominion, his power, and his authority. If we can take our own negative thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, we can be assured of the victory over the weakness of our own flesh. The main purpose of our prayers is not to change God's mind about things or even to inform him of what we need. In Matthew 6, 8, Jesus says, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." The main purpose, or more accurately, the main benefit of praying is that we change our minds. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." When we go to God in the presence of prayer, we see things from heaven's perspective. A picture of this that I love is in Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, where it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" And so when we see from heaven's perspective, the problems and the circumstances of earth pale in comparison to the glory of God. That's the view we want to have. Jesus taught us to pray saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." And so we not only can see from heaven's perspective, but when we pray, we can actually be some of those who are part of bringing the realities of heaven to the circumstances of earth. And I want to take another look, give another example or another picture of how our prayers and our intercession work. In Luke 5, 17 to 20, it says, "One day he," Jesus, "was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and some teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And some men were carrying a man on a stretcher who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of him. But when they did not find any way to bring him in because of the crowd, They went up on the roof, and they let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven you." In Matthew 27, 50 and 51, when Jesus was on the cross, it says, "Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split." John 19:30 tells us what Jesus cried out. He said, "It is finished." And the tearing of the temple veil, like the hole in the roof, allows us to carry people into the presence of God, where there's power for healing. It allows us to boldly carry them to the throne of grace, where there's help for every need. We bring them to the place where the finished work of the cross is fully manifested, and we pray that it will be manifested on earth as it already is in heaven. And as we pray for others, it's important that we remember that prayer works in the physical realm, in the natural realm, by engaging in the spiritual realm. Ephesians 6:12 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Not in heaven, but in the heavenly realms. This passage speaks to our engagement in the battle against evil. And there are things we should do in the natural and in the physical realm. Things like voting for those who stand for good and moral values. Things like supporting agencies or people who do good things. Those are things we do in the natural realm. And in Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And that's how we engage in the natural realm. We engage by being light to the world. When we identify a problem or a need or a situation that we're praying for, we have to be careful to distinguish and to separate the true root of the problem from the people who are involved in it. People aren't what we want to pray against. We want to pray against the power and the evil that is driving them. In Matthew 7:1-2, Jesus says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." In Revelation 12:9-11, it says, "The great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death." And what I want to focus on in that passage is that it says the accuser of the brothers and sisters, the devil, has been thrown down. He's been cast out of heaven. He's no longer there standing before the throne of God to accuse anyone of anything. But if we, in prayer, accuse or judge people in God's presence, then we're actually aligning with and doing the work of the devil rather than doing the redeeming and restoring work of the power of the cross. We talked about how we carry them to the throne of grace, but if we instead take them to the judgment seat of Christ, we risk ourselves being judged by that same standard of measure. Matt talked a few weeks ago and mentioned again today a little bit about how sometimes we look at the resistance that we come across in this country and in our lives, and we kind of lose sight of how that pales, how little it is in comparison to the level of persecution that other people's experience around the world. He talked a few weeks ago about his 10-cent fine in comparison to people who were imprisoned. I'm going to ask Donna now to share a brief testimony about the power of prayer.
So about 15 or 20 years ago, I was extremely ill. I had flu symptoms 24 hours a day, and we're talking like for 2 years. I threw up, I had diarrhea constantly. And I remember one time, you know, it's funny, some things you can experience and you forget them instantly, but when the Lord does a thing, you don't remember, you don't forget anything about it. So I was laying on the bathroom floor and I was very sick. And the Lord said, I was crying out to the Lord and, you know, doing a little bit of a pity party. And the Lord said, I have somebody for you to pray for. That fast, I wanted to argue with him. You know, everybody knows me. I'm like, excuse me? Did you notice? Like, and that fast, I don't know if I physically went, if I mentally went, if I spiritually went, but I was in Africa and I was with a little boy. I thought he was about 5 or 6 years old when I looked at him because that's what his body looked like. But I was very aware that he was more like 10 or 12 years old. He was laying in the dirt. I'm sorry if this is too much. Is it okay for the kids? Okay. Laying in the dirt, and he was covered with flies. He had been throwing up and having diarrhea. He was basically naked because he couldn't get anywhere for any help. He had no water. He had no food. And he was in the heat and in the direct sun and dehydrating terribly. And the Lord said, he is about to die. I got chills again. And I want you to pray for him. Because I want to take him home. But I can't. Because my people have failed me and nobody has told him about Jesus. So I began to intercede and to pray and just pour my heart out about this boy and about the love of God and about the Father's love and about Jesus and what he had done and how he loved him. And, you know, now I'm like really intense in this prayer time. And the Lord said, thank you. And it was just, thank you. It's done. And I saw him. He said, he's with me now. And he was in heaven. That fast, I was back in the bathroom, and the Lord said, get up and worship me. And I'm like, really? Really? He go and worship me, because I was still could barely walk. And I got to the living room, and I crawled my little self to my guitar, and I began to worship the Lord. And as I entered in, all my symptoms went away. There was no pain. There was no any nausea, nothing, no fever, no nothing. And the Lord said, this is what it is to abide. If you are in my presence, none of this can come with you. This is what it is to abide. I can do great things through my people without them ever even leaving their living room. And this is what it is to abide. Abide in me.
So the couple of things that I want to highlight from that are first that as we see the real troubles that others are dealing with, we can pray from that place of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18 says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ. In worship, the Spirit today said that our gratefulness prepares the way for the glory of the Lord. And additionally, in that, I think it's so important for us to grasp the reality of the fact that because God is omnipresent, he is everywhere. Not only can he hear every prayer and process it, but he's everywhere. So our prayers can truly impact the world, even if they're prayed from the bathroom floor. And during worship, the Lord reminded me of one other thing. Jesus says that where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And it's important for us to recognize that even if we're alone, but we have the Holy Spirit, that makes two. He's there in our midst. And today I want to share another testimony about the power of prayer. And I wish I could tell you it was about something that God did in me or through me, but it's not. It was a Friday night, probably 6 or 7 years ago, and our grandchildren were there with us. That was the normal routine for Fridays at the time. And Donna and I were working to get dinner ready. And suddenly Donna had a very severe asthma attack. And unlike a normal asthma situation, it was followed by severe chest pain, to the extent that she couldn't even stand up. I had to bring a chair over for her to sit down. And it persisted, and so against Donna's wishes, because the kids were there, I called 911. And we also called our daughter and son-in-law so that they could come and take care of the kids. And I have to admit that I really struggled with my faith that night. See, Fridays haven't always been a good thing. It was on a Friday night, January 5th, 2001, that I got a call that my mother had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital by ambulance. And she died that night. It was a Friday night in August of 2011 that my father was taken to the hospital by ambulance. And it was the next Friday night that I got a call that he had passed. So as I struggled with my own faith, we asked our granddaughter, who was 5 or 6 years old at the time, to pray for her mama. And in her tiny voice, she simply said, "In Jesus' name, please make my mama all better." In Matthew 6, 7, and 8, Jesus says, "When you're praying, do not use thoughtless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Never, never underestimate the power of a simple prayer offered in childlike faith. In Matthew 18, 3 and 4, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless you change and become like children, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. So whoever will humble himself like this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Later at the hospital, the tests didn't show any sign of a heart attack, but as evidence that God had done something, that he had intervened, they heard a significant heart murmur that had never been there before. And they wanted to do some additional testing to find out what that was all about. But it was the weekend, and they couldn't get the right technician into the hospital to do the test, so they released Donna to go home. And when we went for the follow-up, the murmur was completely gone. People have tried to find it. It's not there. My mom was all better. So as we close today, and as we continue to pray for the persecuted church around the world and for our friends around the corner, both near and far, let's remember just a few things. First, the first thing that changes when we pray is ourselves. When we approach the throne of grace, we see from heaven's perspective. And we see the glory of God as it overwhelms the darkness of the earth. We tear down the fortresses and strongholds of fear and doubt in our own minds, and we take every thought captive to obedience in Christ. And so then, having our faith renewed, we can carry others into the heavenly realm, into the very presence of God, where there's help for every need. Because God is omnipresent, our prayers can impact the world. Wherever he asks us to pray, we can change the situations and circumstances. It's not necessary that we be great orators. We don't need to know all of Scripture to pray all of Scripture. It's good if we do, because we come in agreement with the Lord's will when we pray his word. But we don't need to be eloquent speakers. We don't need to pray with many words. It's more important that we offer simple prayers with childlike faith. So as we close, pray with me, because Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors.
And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray with thanksgiving. Pray in faith.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking a well. I'm taking a well right here. I'm taking a well in the valley of my weeds.